Child care situation in America and the persistent shortage of people to fill jobs. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. First, foreign ministers of the countries of the Group of 20, including the U.S., Russia, and China, are converging in Bali today. On the agenda is the Ukraine war and its impact on energy and food security. A new report from the UN finds that has had a more dire effect for millions of people in developing nations. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with the details.
Yeah, David, we know Ukraine and Russia are very important exporters of grains, Russia of fertilizer and fossil fuels as well. The war has disrupted those exports. Russia has been blockading Ukrainian ports in the Black Sea, preventing grain shipments. And food and energy prices have been going up. The United Nations says there's been a rapid deterioration in the economic situation in some 20 countries. 71 million more people have been pushed into poverty in just the first 3 months of the Ukraine war, and we're well past the first 3 months. These are people living on as little as $1.90 or less a day. And now for some of them, the cost of a loaf of bread, for example, David, has risen to as much as $2 or more. So you can see the problem.
And the UN's analysts can draw a direct line from Russia's war to global poverty getting worse?
They can. And what they're saying is that the Ukraine war is steeply increasing those numbers of people in poverty. For example, the pandemic sent 125 million more people into poverty. That was over the first 18 months. So it took quite a bit of time. The war in Ukraine is having much faster effects. Just 3 months in, we have 71 million more people in poverty. And the UN is asking rich countries to step up with targeted support, extending debt repayments for these countries. A lot of them are heavily indebted, or cash transfers. If these things don't happen, the UN is predicting more destabilization and even economic collapse in some of these countries, David.
All right, Nova, thank you. There's word Britain's Prime Minister Boris Johnson will resign shortly. His authority has withered in the face of scandals and what his critics see as his loose relationship with the truth. After the British pound dropped to its lowest level since pandemic this week, that currency moved up to 121 to the dollar on this Johnson news. Russ Mould is Investment Research Director at AJ Bell in London.
Small increase in the stock market. I think that's possibly because there are hopes for some degree of political stability and also a sneaking suspicion that whoever takes over will have tax cuts on their agenda to try and boost the economy.
He spoke to our editorial partners at the BBC. London's FTSE index is up more than 1% now. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 1 to 2/10 of a percent range. There were no bombshells when the detailed notes came out yesterday of the Federal Reserve's last meeting on the economy and interest rates. Officials were especially worried that consumers are starting to believe that prices will go only higher still, a psychology that could demand sharper increases in interest rates. The central bankers agreed that rates have to be raised to what they termed restrictive levels to choke off inflation. The U.S. economy has been making steady progress recovering all of the jobs lost since the pandemic began. This is a net number, of course, total jobs lost versus all jobs gained. Yet what's called the labor force participation rate for women remains 1 percentage point lower now than before COVID. And if it wasn't for that, we could say all the pandemic jobs lost have been recovered. Let's talk about a major reason keeping women out of the workforce still. Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell is here. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
Given the reporting we've done on this, let me hazard a wild guess. Any chance a key part of this gender disparity is the problem of finding childcare one can afford?
That's it. I mean, you just hit on it. I mean, take the figures from the 2022 Cost of Care Survey. It's by Care.com. 51% of parents say they spend more than 20% of household income on childcare, and 43% say it's become harder to find childcare over the past year. And the problem is really acute for working mothers without college degrees who earn low and unstable incomes.
So if you can't work or can't work the hours that you want, obviously less money coming in, but it doesn't stop there.
No, often careers take a big hit. Accrued Social Security benefit rates, they're lower. Savings rates, lower. And nationally, the cost of lost earnings, productivity, and revenue from a lack of good childcare options is an estimated $57 billion annually.
I mean, childcare was very hard before pandemic. It's what economists call a failed market, because normally, if you can't find enough workers in a field, you raise their pay. But if childcare providers did this, that would raise the price they'd have to charge the parents, who then couldn't afford the care. And then you add pandemic.
That's right. I was looking at this report from the Brookings Institution, and it calculates that the cost per hour of childcare paid by families has increased by nearly one-third over the past 15 years, just getting to your point. And if we look from the period 2016 to 2018, more than 2 million parents of children ages 5 and younger had to quit their jobs, stay out of the workforce, change jobs to deal with childcare challenges. And, you know, the pandemic, it not only drove prices higher, childcare professionals, you know, they left this low-paying career that typically doesn't come with benefits in droves.
Yeah. President Biden's infrastructure plan did have provisions in it, more access to child care and universal pre-K for all 3- and 4-year-olds. Congress did not pass Build Back Better.
Yes, so that initiative went nowhere. But the thing is, the U.S. is near the bottom measured in terms of child care provisions and maternity leave policies. It's a huge problem. But until it's addressed, our human capital economy can't live up to its potential. And it's too big a price for families and society to pay.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
And here's a rough timeline. The other day, the Food and Drug Administration banned Juul electronic cigarettes after a multi-year review of the industry. Juul, partly owned by tobacco giant Altria, didn't like this, as you would have assumed. Then the FDA put its ban on hold pending a new government review of the effects of e-cigarettes on smoking behavior and health. Now, there's news the FDA and Juul are pausing their fight in court pending the new review. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.